Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Grand in Detroit. James Salinas with us from Denver, Colorado, and Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. It is week 7 of the NFL season, and an injury report. Odell Beckham Jr., Wes, for the Cleveland Browns, appears to be out and is questionable to return.
Yeah, and Cleveland really struggling here, Mike, and they took the money late. They closed as high as 4.5 in the market. I think maybe bettors were betting on the Joe Mixon injury, perhaps, but Baker Mayfield doesn't look right. 2 of 7, 25 yards, interception. Last couple weeks, we've all talked with this crew about the how Mayfield just didn't look right in terms of his injuries, not only his ribs, but his shoulder. And 10-3 right now, Bengals midway through the second quarter. Piran into the end zone for the New York Jets. 10-0 midway through the second quarter. Jets took the money, and rightfully so, yikes. I guess, at this point. So, look, I always remember what James said last week on this program. It is hard to go 0-16 in this league, no matter how putrid you are. And the Jets took the money, and it has been well placed because everybody's like, oh, gosh, maybe this is the week where I almost have to take the Jets, getting double digits, and certainly proving to be right at this point. And Washington football team also up 15-3 on Dallas. Kind of a funny sequence. Trayvon Diggs, the Cowboys cornerback, took a swipe at Terry McLaurin, the Washington receiver. And Terry McLaurin, next play, runs right by him for a touchdown. Washington goes for 2, does not get it. 15-3, your current score in D.C., with 8:28 left to go in the second quarter, waiting for an in-game price, because I think that's just now went to break. Also, Atlanta did get on the board with Todd Gurley on a couple-yard plunge, 7-7 in Atlanta. Atlanta minus 1.5, 53.5 your total at BetMGM.
Also should keep in mind with this Jets game, Jets are up 10-0. Sam Darnold is at quarterback for the New York Jets. Joe Flacco, who had started the last two games and is 2-11 in his last 13 starts, is the backup today, as Sam Darnold has gone 10 of 12, 107. He has been sacked twice. Also, no Jamison Crowder for the Jets, but Denzel Mims, the rookie, has 4 catches for 42 yards. So as James, you mentioned, it's tough to go 0-16 in this league, although I might remind folks that the Lions did it at one time. I just can't stop. I'm sorry. I can't
help myself. Sore subject for you, Mike.
You got to be careful out there, Mike.
A little bit, yeah. Well, for some reason, folks think I'm some sort of concierge here because they're always coming up and asking questions during the broadcast, and I'm like, I don't actually work here, so it's pretty funny. But, yes, so the Jets now 14-0. This is an upset in the making, and as you mentioned, it's tough to go 0-16, and it's tough not to cover the spread. And as Chris Andrews and Gil Alexander were talking this week on a numbers game, they were looking ahead to going plus 21 with the Jets. Right now, it looks like the Jets may be the one of the big upsets in the early going here.
Yeah, current price.
Yeah, and you know, Jets. Mike.
Go ahead, James. Yep. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, those look-ahead lines, I don't put a lot of stock into those look-ahead lines when we're talking about the National Football League, because it's such a week-to-week league with injuries, and we see people getting hurt, especially this year now with the COVID situations coming up. It's week-to-week. So looking at this game, going back real quick to the Jets, it would have been real easy to say, yeah, this is Buffalo gets right this week. This is where they're gonna perform after two losses in a row and get themselves right. But I didn't like the scheduling spot like we talked about. They're going to have to host Patriots next week, and the biggest thing to me was there were some COVID issues with the tight end position that happened. You know, we heard about that on Friday and Saturday, as well as they are injured at the cornerback position. They're really, Norman, for whatever it's worth, he's not playing today. Levi Wallace has been on injured reserve, and they were down to just one starting corner with Tre'Davious White. He's not healthy either. He's already had a pass interference call against him. You can see that he just doesn't look right, and right now, Darnold and that New York Jets offense is trying to exploit that second, and they've done a good job so far.
Bills currently minus 2.5 at BetMGM, 40.5 your current in-game total, as they are starting to approach midfield and work into Jets territory. But 10-0 New York Jets.
Jets 10-0 with the lead there, as Wes said. Jets 0-6 straight up, 0-6 to the number. This is VSiN, SiriusXM 204, and VSiN.com. Welcome to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. From the MGM Grand in Detroit, I'm Mike Sennett. James Salinas joins us from a snowy Denver. I assume it's snowy there. The Weather Channel says it's snowy, and the radar says it's snowy. But, I mean, that could be a lie. I don't know. We'll ask James in a moment, especially in regards to the big matchup between the Broncos and the Chiefs today. And Wes Reynolds joins us from the VSiN studios in Las Vegas. Let's talk about that Denver-Kansas City matchup in Power Field at Mile High. The weather forecast, winter storm warning, 6 to 9 inches of snow, a light ice glaze as well, and winds out of the north at 12. First off, James, the weather forecast for us, please. What are you seeing there in Denver? And how do you think that will impact the matchup today between the Chiefs and the Broncos?
Well, I think being a meteorologist out here in Denver is always a challenge because our weather is really wild and crazy. Trying to prognosticate what it's going to look like a week in advance, sometimes even a day in advance. There's plenty of times where they get it wrong. In this case, the meteorologist got it exactly right. If not, actually, it's even colder than what they were anticipating and projecting out a couple days ago. And I think that's just what I've been walking outside just to feel it. And it is cold. The snow, it is snowing. I think players are used to playing in snow. I don't think that's the big issue. There is some wind going. It's not a gusty wind where it's going to impact the ability for the quarterbacks to be able to push the ball down the field. But what that wind does is that wind chill is going to be in single digits. It's probably going to be somewhere close to zero as the game progresses and it starts to get dark here in that second half. So that's where I think that really impacts the ability to move the football down the field in the passing game, because folks' extremities, I think that's when you're playing, you can deal with the cold, you can get layered up, but once that wind bites, it's biting in your face, it's biting on your hands and your toes, and once your extremities start to get cold, you can't just warm up. You can have whatever you have on the sideline, you're frozen, and so it's hard to get those things, you know, trying to get your hands warm, and you're going to see a lot of folks blowing on hands. It's going to be to that detriment where they're going to feel that cold in their bones. So that's why I played the Broncos in the contest at +9.5. I know it dropped all the way down to 7 out here. And I also bought it. I played it at 9, or I bet it at 9.5. I also bet the under at 47.5 a few days ago. Just feeling like, all right, this is going to be not only because of the weather, but Kansas City has some issues on offense. Jeff, their tackle's not going to play today, so they've already had some issues offensively going with their offensive line. Now Schwartz is not going to play. Sammy Watkins is going to be out again. So some more issues offensively that I think are going to play into that total, as well as I think we've seen more of a blueprint now with teams playing the Chiefs. More zone, keep everything in front of you. That's Fangio's going to play a lot of zone as it is. They don't really blitz a whole lot. They're going to try to get pressure with their front four, keep everything in front, their strength of their team. Yeah, they've got a good defensive line, but really the strength of their team is that secondary, and AJ Boye is going to be back for this game off the injured list. So a lot of factors that led me up to taking the Broncos for this game today.
I love James Salinas there doing his best Jim Cantor or Al Roker, giving us the weather update in Denver, breaking that down. And for the same reasons James said, I'm also on Denver. A couple score updates to get you in on. Baker Mayfield, 3 yards out to Harrison Bryant. We are now tied in Cincinnati in the Battle of the Buckeye State, 10-10. Cleveland now tied with Cincinnati. Cleveland minus a 1.5, -143 on the big, 49.5 on the total. We also had a good sequence, or an interesting sequence rather, depending on who you're on. Detroit stuffed at the goal line, went for it on 4th-and-1, handoff up the middle. Dante Fowler Jr. makes the play and makes the stop. So Atlanta's going to take over deep in their own territory, pretty much on their goal line, because Fowler in the celebration got an unsportsmanlike conduct. So Atlanta going to take over and happen to have 99 yards to go. 7-7. Atlanta -1.5, 49.5 your total. And we now also have a touchdown in New Orleans, it looks like. So Carolina is going to take the lead over the New Orleans Saints. Extra point from Joey Sly is pending, and it is good. 1:37 to go, or that's the second touchdown for DJ Moore today.
Getting back to that Kansas City-Denver matchup just real quick, Kansas City has won 9 consecutive meetings with the Broncos, and they've gone 8-1 to the number in those games. Also, Odell Beckham Jr. of the Cleveland Browns will not return. He went to the locker room with a knee injury, and looks like he is done for the day for the Cleveland Browns. As we mentioned earlier, the Browns have struggled this season. They've done some good things, but here in the last couple of weeks, especially after Baker Mayfield took that shot to the chest and has been playing with a chest problem, they have underperformed offensively. 10-10, Broncos and the Bengals are tied. Fox Sports' Jay Glazer during the Fox pregame show today reporting that the Las Vegas Raiders could face fines for violations of COVID-19 protocols. But more importantly, there's the possibility that they could be fined or taken draft picks away. So here's the situation. Earlier, the Tennessee Titans fined $350,000 for their COVID-19 mess. The Raiders got themselves into a COVID-19 mess. No problems there, no, at least no fines that were spoken of, no punishment. But now the NFL is looking at a hefty fine, which I would suspect would be minimum $350,000. But as Jay Glazer reported today, for NFL teams to take notice and to take action and to implement the protocols, it may come down to draft picks being taken away from the Las Vegas Raiders. Their offensive line, at last report, had tested negative for COVID-19 and will play today in their matchup with the Buccaneers at Allegiant Stadium. So that is a very interesting ongoing story. James Salinas, we can talk all day long about how this affects teams, the uncertainty for the coaching staff. You have to prepare for not only the starting offensive line, but what do you do in case they can't play? So that takes the offensive line coach and the offense's minds off of what they typically would like to do to move toward what they might have to do in a situation without their starting offensive line. Your thoughts on this one, the Raiders at home against the 49ers.
Well, Mike, so to your point earlier about, you know, having to fine teams for their conduct off the field, I think that was going to be the whole challenge for these teams week to week once we knew the season was going to go. Was not so much that they're going to come on the field and pass these things off to one another or pass these off to their opponent. It was going to be how do they conduct themselves when they're not at practice, when they're not at the stadium, off the field, where are they going, spending their time? I think we're starting to see some of these players not conducting themselves appropriately. I'm not sure exactly what happened with Emmanuel Sanders, but Sean Payton had some choice words for him as well about his conduct during the bye week. So this is going to be the challenge week in and week out, and a lot of this is going to come down to leadership on within that locker room, not only from the coaching standpoint, but also from the player's standpoint to hold each other accountable for not just performance on the field, but how are you approaching keeping yourself safe and healthy off the field? Because what you don't want to be is you don't want to be that guy. And or in this case, you don't want to be that team that starts to ruin what might. Can we finish out this season? That still remains to be seen. It's going to be a continuing struggle, but you don't want to be that guy. And you don't want to be that team that kind of ruins it for other teams. So not only with the fines, we'll see how this plays out. Maybe down the road, some teams may be forced to forfeit because they don't have enough time to be able to reschedule. So with this being said, with this game today, I took Tampa minus the 3.5. I did it in the contest, and I bet the game too. I know the players are coming back. Kind of suspected that the offensive line would come back, but I think the challenge here is that they haven't been able to practice. So that's where the games are won and lost, is the preparation leading up to the game on Sunday. All your time spent together, working out together as far as making adjustments. That's why they have practice squad players, and I think that's going to be the challenge now for the Raiders is they do what you're doing on Zoom, and you can have all those meetings, but there's nothing to really supplement the fact that you have to practice for a team like Tampa, that defense, all the different looks that defensive coordinator Todd Bowles is going to bring. They didn't get to see that out during practice this week. Now they're just thrust into having to step out there and deal with it in real time. I think that's a huge advantage for Tampa today, and I think on the offensive side for Tampa, they're going to take full advantage of a really porous Raiders defense. I expect a big day throwing the football and running the football out of Tom Brady and that Tampa Bay offense.
Yeah, the Raiders running afoul of NFL rules. The hell you say, right? That's kind of been a pattern since they've been in existence when the Maverick Al Davis was still with us and owned the club. But this was a game I did want to bet the Raiders early in the week before all this news came out, because what James said about those look-ahead lines that they put up at Westgate Superbook USA, you can often play against overreactions, and that's kind of what I did last week with a little bit of success, is that you see these lines, and then all of a sudden one game perception, barring obviously a big injury like we saw in the Arizona-Dallas game where that totally flipped, and then that proved to be right as Dallas looked absolutely lost last Monday night. But I thought, okay, Tampa beats Green Bay, and I was on Tampa last week. Maybe this is a little bit of an overreaction. It was pick 'em on the look ahead, and then it went to some threes started to show in the market early in the week. But now with all of these concerns, it kept me out of the game here because my initial side was going to be the Las Vegas Raiders, but not at this point. And I don't blame James for laying it with Tampa Bay, because, look, we have no idea how it's going to affect. It's not just starters. It's also depth in terms of this team. And when you have those concerns, you go up and down your two deep. You don't know who's going to be available, and you're just banking on kind of a really big effort from the Raiders here, and I'm not sure how much it's going to be. So I stayed out of this one. We do have a touchdown in Tennessee. That is Ben Roethlisberger throwing a touchdown pass into the end zone, just trying to identify the player for you. It looks like it was Johnson, actually, that gets into the end zone. Yeah, it is Deontay Johnson. So 23-7, that was set up by a big punt return by McLeod for Pittsburgh, as now the extra point is good. 24-7, Pittsburgh over Tennessee in the battle of 5-0s with 52 seconds left to go in the first half. And the Saints also have second goal, 5 seconds left to go in New Orleans. Looks like they're going to send the field goal team out and go in tied in New Orleans.
Tampa Bay's defense, or talk about the Raiders and the Bucs, they have not allowed a 100-yard rusher in 12 consecutive games. First NFL team since the Vikings in 2006 to do that. And now you're looking at an offensive line that hasn't practiced together. Lots of questions there. And as James, you mentioned, that uncertainty and not being able to practice and get ready for a tough defensive front for a very good Tampa Bay defensive line, who is number one against the run in the National Football League. That has got to give bettors pause when they take a look at the possibility of betting the Las Vegas Raiders in this spot.
Yeah, and especially with Todd Bowles and all the different defensive fronts that he's going to pose up there to Derek Carr. Right. That's where on that line, at that offensive line, they're going to point, they're going to check here, I got this covered, we're going to have this blocking scheme. So they do a lot of that right at the point of attack, but not having been able to simulate that in practice, they're going to have to do that in real time today. I just think it's a really tall order for that offensive line. So I'm going to be looking at some of these props as far as the Raiders go. I've been waiting because I wanted to see if they'd start to crawl up, where I'm going to be looking at going under when it comes to points scored as a team total for the Raiders, passing yards, rushing yards. I just think that they're really going to have a hard time with this defensive front because they haven't been able to practice collectively this whole week.
And to correct an update I was making, it appeared the Saints were going to try to kick a field goal with just 5 seconds left to go, but they go ahead and go for it and run one more play. Proves to bear fruit for the New Orleans Saints as Drew Brees finds Deontay Harris. So 21-17 and not 17-17 going into halftime. That, of course, comes into play for the first half. Saints were laying 4 in the first half. So maybe that roar that I heard in the background was bettors at least knowing they're going to get their money back on the push. So 21-17, New Orleans, 2 seconds away from going to halftime.
Yeah, because I'm out. I'm wide open here. I'm out in the open without a mask on here at the MGM Grand Detroit. And lots of fans to my right and around the corner watching these games at this beautiful, beautiful building. Saints 21-17 on the Panthers. Now, the line for the Super Contest and Circa that everyone we're talking a lot about this game because it was the most picked game in both contests at +7.5. And right now, Saints 21-17 on the Panthers. And a lot of reasons to like the Carolina Panthers in this spot, guys. The line for the contest was +7.5 Carolina, and the line closed at -7 for the game. And Teddy Bridgewater in a spot spot to perform. 20-5 against the spread as an underdog and playing against his former team, James. You did take this in the contest at +7.5 Carolina. Right now, a battle in New Orleans. It's a divisional battle, teams that are very familiar with each other. Do you feel good about that +7.5 heading into the break?
Yeah, I mean, right now that one hurt to go for it on with 5 seconds left. They obviously had the right play. They knew they had to throw it in the end zone, so they had one play left. Obviously, it's a back and forth game as far as the offensive side go. I want to see what is Carolina going to be able to do defensively to make some adjustments here, because obviously Drew Brees, even though he doesn't have his top two wideouts, I think we saw that with Emmanuel Sanders the other night on that Monday Night Football game against the Chargers, he was able to start to build some chemistry with Sanders. Sanders had a big game against the Chargers on that Monday Night contest, but not having both of those players in there, I thought that would impact them offensively. Obviously, right now, that hasn't impacted them on the scoreboard. The Saints have been able to move the football up and down the field and score, but I think the other piece is Teddy Bridgewater coming back, taking advantage of some of those tendencies that he knows certain players are going to make. He's been able to make some big plays down the field, over the top, sucking up those safeties and playing to maybe some of their aggressiveness that he's familiar with to be able to exploit that. I think we've been able to see that too. So score fest here, 38 points in the first half. We'll see who makes the adjustments in the second half coming out of the break here soon enough.
And we are now at halftime of that game, as you guys were saying, 21-17 Saints, waiting for some second half prices. Packers also get a late score before the end of the half. All Green Bay. Taylor, 1 yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, 21-0.
All right, guys, back with more in a moment here on VSiN. NFL in full swing and Major League Baseball playoffs underway. It's time for you to get into Quick Picks, the easy and easy to play daily parlay game that delivers huge payouts. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. And you can even use PayPal, so you'll be confident that it's secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Grand in Detroit. It's downtown. From Denver, Colorado, it's James Salinas, the former Super Contest winner. And at the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds. And this is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network. A story today out of Jacksonville. Mike Glennon could be the quarterback of the future. The mustachioed one, Gardner Minshew, falling out of favor during the 5-game losing streak in which he has turned the ball over multiple times. 5 interceptions and 4 lost fumbles for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there's talk that Mike Glennon could see time under center for the Jaguars. Today, Jacksonville, the 7.5-point road dog at SoFi Stadium against the Los Angeles Chargers. And Mike Glennon or Gardner Minshew, which would you prefer to see under center for the Jaguars, James?
Well, I think regardless of who's under center today, I think the quarterback of the future that they want is in is in Clemson, South Carolina right now.
Well, yeah,
so tanking for Trevor, right? So I think today is going to be a tough matchup for them. The reason why I like the Chargers, I didn't play them in the contest as far as the number goes. I'm not going to lay 7.5 with that, but I did take them in the Survivor. So fingers crossed as far as that's concerned. But I like the matchup today based on where the Chargers are. They're getting healthier now. So I'm looking at they had a few, especially at the defensive line. So they're able to, they just brought back, Melvin Ingram. So he's off the injured list, as well as Justin Jones in the middle of that front four. So with Jones and Linval Joseph, they have their starting front four back. You're going to have Bosa and Ingram coming off those edges. I think it's a really tough matchup for Jacksonville to keep, regardless of whatever quarterback is going to play today, or maybe they play a bit of both, especially if Minshew gets out there and struggles. I don't know if that's the dreaded vote of confidence for Minshew to get something going, but ultimately with that defensive front for the Chargers today, I think it's a tall order for Jacksonville to make any kind of significant plays and hang on to the football. So we'll see if Minshew can hang on to the football or continue those turnover ways like he has the last few games.
Yeah, this was a kind of a two-way play for me. I did take the Jags on the spread at 8 and then laid the Chargers in a back half of a teaser leg. I have some concerns a little bit about the Chargers' offensive line injuries. Turner, of course, still out. Norton out. Bulaga still listed as questionable. So that's a little bit of a concern. And are the Chargers, despite all the problems Jacksonville has, going to be sloppy off the bye week? And now in a role that they're not used to is a big favorite. It's tough to find a lot to like about Jacksonville, but maybe that's kind of the last motivation, like James was saying, for Gardner Minshew to get going. But Jacksonville, I think the market finally caught up with them because they beat the Colts and upset them in week one. And then the market really kind of overreacted to this team, and I'd been going against them ever since. And now I think they're kind of priced right into the market. So not a big advantage from a number standpoint here, but I did take the Jags for better or worse. A couple halftime scores before we hit the break here. 21-17 New Orleans over Carolina. New Orleans -3 +110 at BetMGM, 26.5 the total. So juice to the Carolina side. So if you want to get yourself some more Carolina, there's certainly the opportunity. 21-0 Green Bay over Houston at halftime. Houston -3.5 even money. 27 -$1.25 juice to the under. 24-7 Pittsburgh over Tennessee. Tennessee 3.5 for the second half. 24.5 your total. Buffalo and the Jets. Now Jets 10-6. Buffalo is going to be about a 7-point favorite, juice to the Jets side. And just into halftime in Cincinnati, 17-10 Cincinnati over Cleveland.
We'll talk the Patriots, 49ers, and the Cardinals and Seahawks, including an update on DeAndre Hopkins' status for the Sunday night matchup when betting across America continues for the MGM Grand in Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Listening to our show right now on SiriusXM 204, any of our audio platforms, we want you to know you can try watching us. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com as we celebrate the opening of Circa Las Vegas. Follow the Money will be broadcasting live for their new studios Monday morning, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time from Circa Las Vegas. Also at Umbra's Game, the Lombardi Line, My Guys of the Desert, and every VSiN program. It's all free 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily Best Bets email and our Point Spread Weekly Betting Guide. It's the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Head over to VSiN.com right now, and you can start watching for free. You can see me, Mike Sennett, from Detroit, James Salinas from Denver, and Wes Reynolds from the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas with the free trial at VSiN.com. The video goes out on multiple platforms through all of our viewers every day. So VSiN.com for the free video. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. From the MGM Grand in Detroit, Mike Sennett, Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas, James Salinas in Denver. DeAndre Hopkins is expected to play today for the Arizona Cardinals as they take on the Seattle Seahawks in an unexpected Sunday night matchup. This was a late afternoon game, but they moved it to the Sunday night time window when there is questions regarding the Buccaneers-Raiders matchup. So the NFL, looking forward, making a good decision, figuring, hey, let's make sure that folks have a Sunday night game to watch, and of course, a Sunday night game for bettors to bet on. It is the Arizona Cardinals, the 3.5-point dog at home against Seattle. And James, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I didn't play this one. This one, I had a hard time trying to figure out, do I like either side or, in fact, either total? I think Arizona's the only team that hasn't gotten over their total in any of their games so far this season. So I'm still not sold on where Arizona is offensively. I know that they look tremendous against Dallas, but I think we're seeing right now that everybody's looking really tremendous against that Dallas defense. But then on the Seattle side, yeah, they're going to come off the bye. So offensively, they've been clicking, throwing the football around, although they do have some issues at the offensive line going into this game. My concern more so is on that defensive side for Seattle, where, yeah, Jamal Adams is probably not going to be there again. He has been ruled out, so he's a big playmaker for them. Really allows them, that defensive front, to do a number of different things, because you can place Jamal Adams anywhere and everywhere on that field to allow that defense to come at different fronts, different looks, different blitzes, those types of things. So having him not there, they really be more back to that single high safety look and really try to play more of the cover three and keep everything in front of them. So I suspect they'll play a lot more zone, because that's the one thing we've saw with Kyler Murray is he looks even more confident. We see his confidence grow week after week after week, but now really running the football. Last year, he wasn't really trying to run the football down the field. He was just more moving around in the pocket to extend plays. I think now he's seeing that his speed, that no one can replicate that speed in practice, and teams are not able to catch up to him out there. So the best way to combat that is to have to play zone, have a lot of eyes in that backfield to keep an eye on Murray out of the pocket. I didn't make a play on this game. It's going to be an exciting matchup. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, but it's going to be definitely an assessment game for me of where am I going to go with these teams going forward.
Yeah, ditto here, James, on this one for me, because honestly, these are two teams I kind of wanted to go against in this spot, but they happen to be playing each other. I think Arizona's numbers defensively are a little bit phony considering the competition they played. They played Washington. They've played the New York Jets. So that's going to inflate your defensive numbers. I think, granted, it's improved, but now they're without Chandler Jones, their best pass rusher. They were without him last Monday night, too, and it didn't make a difference against Dallas, who, by the way, throws an interception right before the end of the first half. Washington football team 22-3, so Dallas might have to call themselves the Dallas football team and lose the Cowboy nickname, because they have they are struggling, as Joe Namath famously said, on the sidelines. But nevertheless, going back to this game, Seattle and Arizona, this is almost one where I'd be more prone to play the over, and I don't have anything on the Sunday night game as of yet. And I know primetime game over, that's what most of the bettors bet, and it seems kind of obvious, or it seems kind of quote unquote square, if you want to call it that. But Seattle's defense, I think they have a reputation like they still have a good defense. They don't have a good pass defense for sure. Not having Jamal Adams is really going to hurt. They're one of the worst pass defenses in the league. So Arizona, I think, will be able to find plays down the field. And I know people are a little skittish to go over in an Arizona game considering they're 0-5-1 to the under, but that would be the only way I would look here. I don't really know what I can do with the side here, because these were kind of two teams I was looking to go against. Was looking to go against Arizona off that big Monday night win in Dallas. Always like to at least look to that spot. I don't always play it or bet it, but always like to look to that spot when a team's off a big primetime win, next game out, kind of a little bit of a letdown or maybe a sluggish spot to start out of the gate. But nothing on the side for me, but over 54.5 would be where I would be looking here. See if I can get there. Got a few hours to decide on that one.
Adam Chernoff this week on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. One of his best bets in the VSIN email, vsin.com/subscribe, over 56. So with that number, we got to 56 or over. He said, take that. Bruce Marshall like Seattle, -3.5. It is, Wes mentioned, Arizona 0-5-1 against the number, the total so far this year, and they have yet to go over. DeAndre Hopkins expected to play 47 catches, 601 yards, and 2 touchdowns. When we return, we'll talk the New England Patriots laying 3 against Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. The total 45 at Gillette Stadium. New England just 3-5 against the spread in their last 8 games. We'll go in-depth in this one when we return, but real quick, James, your quick thoughts on the Patriots -3. And in some books, I believe the contest number was -2.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was actually 1.5 for the millions. I believe it was 1.5. So I have them in the contest.
Yes.
I also bet them at 1.5. I bet them at 1.5 as well. This is my favorite play on the board today is the Patriots. Their offensive line, they didn't get to practice. We talked about practice for the Raiders and not being there with the offensive line to prepare. Same thing happened with the collective team when it came to the Patriots. On again, off again, can't go to the facility, all these types of things. Plus, they had some injuries on that offensive line. We were talking about both had to start 2 rookies, 6th-round draft picks that had to start on that offensive line. David Andrews is coming back. Shaq Mason's coming back to solidify that offensive line. I think you're going to see a power run game against the team on a San Francisco team that, in my mind, is a little soft. I think DeForest Buckner's absence now that he's in the Colts really shows up in their run defense today.
We'll talk more Patriots 49ers in a moment when we return on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Every game means something more at BetMGM Sports. The new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets where they place a $1 wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Just sign up and make your first bet with the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the MGM Grand in Detroit. James Salinas, a former Super Contest winner, joins us from Denver, Colorado. And Wes Reynolds is in the VSIN studios in Las Vegas. And the Super Contest number on the Patriots matchup with the 49ers is Patriots laying 2. And in the Circa Contest, it's -1.5. On the board, it's Patriots -3. The kickoff later this afternoon, and before the break, we started talking about this game. And Wes Reynolds, I wanted to get your take on the Patriots and the 49ers.
Well, James and I are going to match up on this one because I not only bet the Patriots, but also use them in the contest. And we talked about look-ahead lines a couple times earlier in this program. Patriots were 5-point favorites. Obviously, that was before last Sunday's games were played, as these come out on Wednesday. So what did you see coming off of that? You saw New England, a bad performance at home against Denver, losing 18-12. And, Cam Newton did not look great last Sunday. And then you saw the 49ers, who everybody were down on, easily beat the Rams. 24-16 was the final score, but they were up double digits most of the game. 49ers were well in control. So at one point, this got to 5.5. Then this dips all the way as low as 1.5. So you talk about these short-term overreactions and reacting to short-term results, and I think this is Exhibit A here, really, with the Patriots. New England now 2-3, and when's the last time they've been third place in the AFC East? A really long time, because Buffalo 4-2, Miami 3-3, and the Patriots in the third place spot right now. I just think this is a buy low spot on kind of what looks on the surface to be like an ugly favorite if you're looking at last week's results with New England. So that's what I did here. And it is, we're seeing it kind of with Bridgewater returning to New Orleans, that maybe the Jimmy G revenge game. I think that's kind of been a storyline this week, going back to Foxborough and where he eventually got traded to San Francisco and got a chance really to be a starting quarterback. So he shouldn't be that all honked off at the New England Patriots, because he got a chance to make a lot more money in San Francisco. But nevertheless, I do like New England here. I just don't see Bill Belichick losing two home games in a row in Foxborough, and especially to a former quarterback. And who's going to know Jimmy Garoppolo better than Bill Belichick? He saw him for so many years as TB12's backup up in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So, yeah, this is kind of a stinky-looking favorite if you look at it on the surface with the New England Patriots, but we choose to go where the stink is, and we're on New England today.
Patriots 3-5 against the spread in their last eight games. Patriots laying 3. You can get the 2.5 in the contest and the 1.5 in the contest. The other contest, the Circa Millions. Danny Burke, host of Rush Hour, Patriots minus 125 with the money line. That's one of his best bets this week at vsin.com/subscribe. Aaron Redding also liked the Patriots minus 2 as well. Let's take a look now at the Monday night game. The Rams laying 6 against the Chicago Bears, a total 45. Rams 4-0 against the NFC East when they made that tour of the NFC East. And now they're 0-2 outside of that four-game stretch against the East. And, James, your thoughts on the Rams laying 6 at home against the Bears?
Yeah, this one's the Bears have played them tough. I think they put that's the one thing that we saw out of Goff. Anytime you start to get pressure on him, especially up the box, you get pressure up the middle, he's just such a bit of an enigma with this team. They started out really hot, but they didn't really play much of a schedule when it came to terms of the level of talent and the caliber of the teams that they were playing. And then they looked a little flat. It was kind of interesting. They came out big Sunday night game playing against division rival, and really San Francisco put it on them and took it to them. So I know there's the overreaction piece that Wes talks about. My reaction from that was, the Rams kind of look like what I thought they would look like earlier in the season. I'm not a Jared Goff backer by any means, and I thought I saw really just lack of confidence with him in that pocket. So it's going to be a different game plan. I kind of suspect this is going to be a lower scoring game when we're talking about the total here and just looking at how are these two defenses going to match up. I think Aaron Donald should have his way inside with that. I'm not a big believer in the Bears offensive line. They haven't been able to run the football. You know, Foles coming in, it's still a work in progress to get them connected. Although, you know, now I think they've been able to start to expand some of that playbook in that passing game. But their limitations on the run game is still a concern based, I really think, on that offensive line. So I'm not really sure where to go with this game right now. I feel like 6 is kind of a big number. I know they are at home, but again, at home, what does that mean anymore? Is there any value to being at home outside of not having to travel? Sometimes it seems like it's more of a detriment outside of being able to stay in the confines of your own house, to where if you were a place where you needed those fans and you needed kind of that energy and excitement, and you don't have that, sometimes some of these games look a little flat. I'm not sure where to go with this one, Wes. How do you feel about this contest tomorrow night?
Yeah, and what you said is absolutely true. The number on the surface looks absolutely high, which is why you're seeing more tickets on the Bears than you are the Rams. And look, I played against the Rams last week. I kind of thought they were a little bit fraudulent. Their four wins all against the NFC least, Dallas, Washington, the Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles. So they really hadn't beaten anybody of major substance yet in this league, and it showed last Sunday night as they lose to a San Francisco team that was off a poor performance at home against Miami the week prior. And what you said about low-scoring game, absolutely true, James. You look at the last two meetings, Rams win 17-7 last year in L.A., with the closing total was 40. And then I believe it was a Sunday night game back in 2018, Rams in Chicago. Chicago wins 15-6, closing total of 51, rather. Rams 13-3 to the under their last 16 games as a favorite. So I could certainly see why the under is getting support. It's gone down from 47-45. But I think last week we kind of saw that the Rams were proven a little bit fraudulent. Maybe this is the spot where the Bears are proven to be a little bit fraudulent. I mean, you never apologize for wins in the NFL. But if you look at Chicago, they've been outgained in each of their last three games. They haven't been able to reach 275 yards of total offense in those three games. Minus 24 in yards per game on the season. The defense has really carried the day for this team. I think Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky really in their performance have been very similar. It's just Foles has the perception as the better quarterback because all of a sudden the Bears got on a winning streak. But Bears defense held Tampa Bay to 243 last week, Carolina to 261. The number I know looks attractive, which is why the Bears are getting more tickets, but I do think that this is a spot for the Rams here. So I don't love the number, but I love the spot. So sometimes you have to weigh those decisions back and forth. If you're more of a numbers player or more of a spot player, I like to think I'm both, but I'm going to err on the side of the spot here. And I do like the Rams at this position. A couple score updates to get you updated on Cleveland Browns on the board. Harrison Bryant, another touchdown for Cleveland. So now 17-17, 9 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Cleveland minus a half a point, 55.5, your current total. And then also we did have another score. Pittsburgh just put up a field goal here from 30 yards out. 10:29 left to go in the third quarter. 27-7 Pittsburgh. Houston finally on the board. 7 minutes left to go in the third quarter. 21-7 Green Bay, still your leader. Minus 13.5 at BetMGM. 48.5 your current total. Also, Buffalo just adds a field goal. So now it is 10-9 Jets. 9 minutes left to go in the third.
You mentioned that Baker Mayfield had another touchdown pass. Prop bet over under touchdown passes today at 1.5 minus 145 to the over. That cashes with the Baker Mayfield touchdown toss. To close out our discussion on the Monday night matchup, Bruce Marshall says he likes the Bears plus 6 and under 45. And the Bears this season, their defense has allowed only 4 passing touchdowns. That is the fewest passing touchdowns allowed so far in the National Football League season. As we wrap up today's show, James Salinas, your quick thoughts on the early games. Any surprises for you heading into the afternoon schedule of contests?
Well, I would say it's a surprise with the Jets still in front of the Bills. I think it's 10-9 now. They've been able to limit Josh Allen from any big plays over the top. I think that's what we were seeing out of the Bills early in the season. A lot of empty sets, 4 and 5 wide receivers, and Josh Allen really being able to unleash that big arm that he has, and now teams get film on you. How do you adjust? It's a copycat league. I think we've seen a lot more zone, keeping things in front, making them have to throw the ball into tight windows. So I understood where the money was coming from on the Jets. It made sense to me. I couldn't play them. But so is it a surprise? Maybe it is a surprise. But they're competing right now, and they look like, as far as the Jets go, the more intense team on the field right now.
Yeah, I guess my final thought would be on the Dallas Cowboys and how bad this team really looks right now. 22-3 down to the Washington football team, and Washington took the money, and it looks like the money was absolutely right in this one.
We'll see if that defensive coordinator lasts the week. Next week, maybe we'll be talking about that. For Wes Reynolds, James Salinas, I'm Mike Sennett at Detroit's MGM Grand. And this has been Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. We'll see you next week here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.